Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Today in the studio, we have Tom O'Neill, the CEO of The Nerdery. The Nerdery is a custom software design and development company built on the belief that passionate nerds are the driving force behind business breakthroughs, redefining what's possible through technology. Headquartered in Bloomington, Minnesota, The Nerdery has offices in Chicago, Kansas City, and Phoenix. Founded by Mike Durham, Mike Schmidt, and the late Luke Buckland, programming pioneers in 2003, Tom O'Neill joined the ranks of CEO in 2016. Tom has been instrumental in growing with the Nerdery founders. He joined the Nerdery in 2004, so a year after the company was started as a programmer. He launched their Chicago branch as vice president of software development, returning to Minneapolis as chief operations officer. In 2014, Tom became president, then CEO. At the Nerdery, they build more than software. They craft products, services, and experiences that better people's lives. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Nancy.
We're here at your studio in Bloomington, Minnesota. You have a lot of history to share with us and a whirlwind of activities in growing with the founders, a venture from scratch to 500 employees. To begin our mentoring conversation, I would like to share first our connection. So we met at a Joan Moser Spoken Impact December 6th speaking event in 2016. Mm-hmm. You gave the audience a brief history of the Nerdery. You also shared your view of core values. They are woven into your company and kept alive daily and through company activities. Your speech was so inspiring. I hadn't heard anyone speak of core values in quite the way that you did. The core values are the glue in any organization and need to be brought into every decision. They are the guiding light to support the vision. You have personal experience with that. So before we start talking about the Nerdery, let's talk about your background.
Sure.
And your upbringing. And then we can weave in, you know, that's part of your history.
Yeah,
so we'll
that's
weave
great.
That in as we go. Okay.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you're here. Or I'm here. So you've just completed the We Mentor Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal. Every guest and every client that I work with, they fill these out because with all the activities that are going on, the most important thing we need to do is to be able to ground, feel our feet, and kind of connect with what's going on internally.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling optimistic for 2017 and excited about what the nerds can do this year.
Okay. That's excellent. Yeah, I'm feeling really challenged and grounded and excited to to get to know you better, frankly.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chanhassen, right here in the Twin Cities.
And tell us more about how you grew up.
Okay, so I'm one of nine children. My mom and dad they had six girls and three boys. I'm the fourth of nine, and I take on some of the characteristics of a middle child and also a kind of a oldest child. My older siblings were overachievers for sure.
Yeah,
and so I kind of followed their lead in some ways, but also, you know, I have some of the creativity and the relationship building aspects of a middle child. You know, I seem to find myself pulling people together quite often, and that's something that I really value. My dad owned a machine shop growing up, so he did custom machining, and my mom ran an in-home daycare. So,
okay.
In addition to the nine of us, we always had
gosh.
All kinds of other friends around that my mom took care of through her daycare. And as a kid, I was big into computers, obviously. I think that really had a big influence in my life. I was in the Scouts. I was into snowboarding and racing BMX bikes and, you know, playing some sports like most kids do. So,
where were the computers development at when you were growing up?
Well, When I was in junior high, my dad gave me and my brothers and my sisters the first computer. And really, my brothers and I kind of, you know, I think spent more time on it than anyone else. And back then, it was, you know, a DOS-based operating system. It was pre-Windows. Okay. And, you know, it was pretty early on.
So that was in the what? 80s?
Oh, geez. Yeah. So I can't remember. A long time ago. Okay. And, you know, I think that the important part about the story that we had with our computers was that my dad was kind of an early adopter. He bought some of the technology early and he exposed us to it early, which was really good. I'm really happy that he did that. And he also empowered us, to do really whatever we wanted with the computer. We broke it numerous times, but he challenged us to fix it when we'd screw it up, and he wouldn't give us a lot of help. But, you know, we didn't have too many restrictions using the computers that he bought us over the years. So I think that was an important part of my development, technically.
Okay, sure. Were there any classes that you took in computer design?
No, not really. I mean, not in grade school or middle school or high school, really. You took typing class, maybe. But no, most of the early exposure I had to computers was self-taught, reading books and, you know, early internet research and whatnot. So it wasn't until college where I went to school for computer science where I got formal training. So,
and where did you go to college at?
I went to Winona State University.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a great place to go to school. There's some, you know, really inspiring people that I worked with there, and in the faculty, and you know, exposure to some really smart classmates, and I learned a lot.
Oh, cool! And what were some of your other outside activities during your college years outside of your education?
You know, I think, I've always been kind of a joiner. So in college, I was a co-founder of our snowboarding club, and, that was a really fun leadership opportunity for me. I, was the vice president of the computer science club. I organized a number of events for the computer science students, LAN parties and whatnot. I participated a lot in that kind of stuff. But then outside of school, I worked full time as a programmer for a local software company, you know, I think I was working 40 hours a week while going to school and learning a lot about how the professional services and the consulting world worked and, solving real business problems. It was pretty fun to be able to take that, experience, as context into the classroom. So I learned a lot both on the job and through the computer science program that way.
Sure. Yeah. Are there a lot of, hills in Winona for snowboarding?
You know, I did actually do quite a bit of snowboarding in Winona too. I was a snowboarding instructor at a local ski area called Coffee Mill and also over at, Mount La Crosse and La Crosse for a little bit of time. So yeah, I found a way to get on the hills for sure.
Okay. And where do you snowboard now?
I take my two boys, two of my three boys, to Highland Hills right in Bloomington here.
Okay. Do they have regular lessons or?
You know, they are in a club called G-Team. So they get out at least 2 days a week, sometimes 4 days a week with their club. And with me, I take them out on my own, but not lessons per se, more of a club team thing.
Sure. That sounds great. It sounds like you became, you were showing signs of being a leader kind of in college.
Yeah, you know, when I look back, I think about the leadership opportunities that I've had growing up, and I think it probably started in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, you know, leading as one of the Boy Scouts. They give you lots of opportunity there, from a patrol leader to the senior patrol leader, effectively the person who runs the troop in the Boy Scouts. That was the first opportunity. And then I was the vice president of my class, I think junior year in high school, and there's things like that. But really when it comes down to it, I look back and I think even to class projects in high school and in college, I often find myself in a position where I'm surrounded with really smart people and I can find a way to get people to focus on their strengths and find a way to divvy up the different opportunities that we have as a group and get people excited about their role on a project. And I think that, you know, like I said, I think I first started to experience that in high school and classwork. And, I took that through college, but, you know, even with my personal relationships and my core group of friends, I'm often, finding a way to position people towards their strengths.
So you became a programmer through your education.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and a passion. I love solving problems with technology. So it was an obvious choice for a career path for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. What was your first job out of college?
Well, during college, I was working as, like I said, as an engineer / consultant. And that took me to an entrepreneurial opportunity. The company I was working for actually went bankrupt, and I had transitioned many of their clients into my own small business during school.
Okay.
And that was a lot of fun. I took with me, you know, the clients and two of the programmers who were working at the old company, and we were quite successful for, you know, a while. I lost focus on this kind of work that we were doing, this accounting software work that I was doing in the small business. And I tried to shift our small business's focus towards web development, which was my real passion. And, you know, like some, it's one of those, failures, I guess, of an entrepreneur that I gave up some really lucrative business, that was, recurring and happening frequently. I actually kind of gave that business away. And I tried to focus on web, and I wasn't as successful as I wanted to be. So
it is hard to grow a company though, if you're not passionate about what the work that you're doing.
I agree. And so from there, I put my resume on the internet, and you know, it was during kind of the .com boom, so it was pretty easy for me to find new opportunities. And I moved up to the Twin Cities and worked for a dating website that has now come and gone as well. And it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot about entrepreneurialism in the .com era, but ultimately, what I missed, and that's how I found Luke, Mike, and Mike. What I really missed was being close to the business problems. And as a consultant working for this company through college, I found myself finding a lot of passion for the customers' businesses that I was exposed to in my work. You know, everything from a cooperative in Iowa that processes pork to a company in Wisconsin that manufactures countertops. And, you know, I'd find myself helping them solve their business problems using technology and really finding that gratification and seeing the impact of my work happen in all these variety of businesses. And I wanted to get back to consulting. So I found Mike and Luke, and I could see that we shared some values, and I could see that we shared a spirit for entrepreneurialism and for making an impact in our customers' businesses. And yeah, I think it was an obvious choice to leave the .com world to join the team here at the Nerdery.
Okay. The Nerdery is part of the .com.
Well,
how do you see it?
The Nerdery is a consulting organization, really. I mean, so we're professional services. We don't have a product other than our ability to solve business problems, you know, with technology. So we go into companies, like big retail companies or big healthcare companies, and we help them solve their business problems using technology. So they'll hire us to build an app or to build a web application or to, you know, somehow better serve their customers or their employees using software.
Okay.
So we're a custom software development company. Whereas I think, you know, what I refer to as like the .com, you know, those are typically product companies that stand alone that are meant to serve.
I see. The consulting is a whole different arena.
Absolutely.
And you're partnering with people to develop something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you might see on our website that one of our partners is Hy-Vee, a fast-growing grocery and retailer here in the Midwest. And So for example, we've built mobile applications for Hy-Vee. We've helped them with their online e-commerce platform. We've helped them with their .com, you know, that sort of thing. So where their specialty is running these retail businesses, our specialty is helping better serve their customers with technology.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. You met them pretty early then in your career, and they had just, Mike and Luke,
yeah,
had just founded the nursery in 2003, and so you joined them in 2004. So what was going on at that point? Like, where were they? Were you located here in Bloomington?
You know, we were just down the street from this office here in Bloomington, but we were right here in town, just a stone throw away, and these guys had... you know, they had this vision to build a software company, a consultancy that was truly different from the average consultancy. And I think that we've done a good job toward that end. They had a niche at the time where they were working on legacy business systems. So the old green screen business systems that you might remember.
We
had a niche in that we would integrate into those old school legacy systems with more modern technology. So they hired me as a web developer who could build these web-based front ends to these legacy business systems and essentially extend the life of those legacy systems. Hmm. So it was a really fun... it was a really fun company to join. I think these guys who started the company, Mike and Luke, are extremely values driven. They're very, very passionate about helping businesses succeed. And I think to be successful in the consulting world, I think you really have to have a passion for solving business problems. And I think you also have to find a way to be gratified by seeing other businesses succeed. And so if you can't really get passionate about helping your partner succeed, then it's a challenging business to be in. And if you're not feeling that gratification of their success, you won't get the rewards that you need to continue to be persistent.
Yeah.
You
know? Right. Totally. So you were in Bloomington. Where were you at in your personal life?
Mm-hmm. When I started with the company, I was seriously dating my my fiance, but we weren't married yet or engaged. We were engaged shortly after I started working here. We had already lived together, so my Irish Catholic mother was not a big fan of that, but
yeah,
we made it work.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so no kids, just happy to be involved with my now beautiful wife. And
what's
you
her
know,
name?
Annie. My
Annie.
Wife's name is Annie.
Okay.
Yep. And so Annie and I, you know, I think one of the things that I appreciate about her most is that she's very, very supportive, and to me that shows in the way that she stands behind me in all of the aspects of my life, especially my passion around this business and our employees. And
is she part of the business at
nope,
all?
No, she's not. No.
Okay.
I mean. Yeah, no, she's not
working. She's not working in the business,
she's not
but she
in the
certainly
business,
but is involved
a part
with the business.
Of the business from her support of me, you know. But you know, that means on tough days, she's there for me. On late nights, she's supportive of me not being home on time, or you know, she's supportive of the travel and all the things that come into running a business of this size and this scale. So
yeah,
she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. That's everything, really. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you joined Mike, and Luke.
Yep.
You're in a solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Things are working well.
Yeah.
How many other employees were there at the time?
I think I was like the third or fourth employee, so there wasn't too many.
Okay.
The thing about Mike and Luke is, you know, they were very focused on growing the business, and I think that... they were invested in that growth, you know, through efforts, through, you know, literally keeping the money in the business, not taking a lot of money for themselves off the table.
Yeah.
And they pretty early on invested in the people in the business through empowerment. And, you know, to win by empowering people is one of our core values. And those guys, you know, my experience was that they really... they really meant it when they said empowerment. It was less of an entitlement, more of an expectation that if I was empowered to do what's right for the company, for our customers, and for our fellow nerds, that was a responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
And they were counting on me to follow my instincts and to do what I thought was best at all times without a lot of direction. And so for someone like me, I think that was incredibly liberating. You know, I like to say that I have an entrepreneurial spirit, and to find myself in an organization that would be supportive of some innovative ideas, and for me to push boundaries and to really challenge myself and my team, I think it was really cool. It was really awesome. So, and that started pretty early on as an engineer. You know, beyond just writing code, they really were counting on me to understand the needs of our clients' businesses and to push for the right outcome for our client, regardless of how we framed up the opportunity through the sales process. They really challenged me to make sure that we were delivering high quality products that made business impact from day one. And it was a lot of fun. It was very, very challenging. It sometimes required late nights or overnights and weekends of work. But we had a lot of fun doing it, and we were successful, I think, because of the trust and the faith that the leaders put in us, the people who would deliver. So
yeah,
it was fun.
To go from 0 to 500 people in not very, you know, how did you manage that? Where were you at as the company was like rapidly growing? Because you shifted into different roles as you went along.
Well, pretty early on, I think Luke Buckland, our late president, challenged me to think about what I wanted to do when I grew up. You know, like I said, I was hired as an engineer, and I think that was my passion, was to solve business problems with technology. But I think he might have seen something in me that I hadn't quite seen in myself. And he said, "Hey man, what do you want to do? Like, what's your dream job?" And when I said, "Oh, I want to be like the best programmer in the world," he didn't buy that. And he asked me to think about it a little bit more and come back in a couple of weeks. You know, it's sometimes you have good leaders and that stuff happens, and you realize that, you know, they're clearly leading you in a direction. And when I came back and talked about some of the things I talked about earlier, like my experience in Boy Scouts and my experience in, you know, as vice president of the class and with all the clubs that I helped start in college, you know, I really did have a passion for surrounding myself with smart people and positioning them to succeed. And you know, as I described that to Luke, I could tell that he already saw that too, and he was waiting for me to realize that on my own. So I think from there, he gave me opportunity to try my hand at leadership here at the Nerdery, and it started with leading projects. It went from there to leading teams of people leading projects. Eventually, I found myself in that role as vice president of the software development team, and on the executive committee here, where, you know, a lot of my focus was on building a team of leaders that could grow the company quickly and finding the right talent and again, positioning them to succeed. So, and that was a lot of fun. Before I moved to Chicago, we were at about 100 people. And I had been real lucky to find some great leaders on my team who really were, you know, I'd done a good job, I think, replacing myself, to be short. You know, the folks who were working on my team were really doing the most of the work when it came to what I should have been doing as the vice president of software development. And really, I was spending a lot more of my time either recruiting or selling, you know, and I was getting a little bit bored. And I think Luke and Mike Durheim and Mike Schmidt could identify that I was getting a little bit bored. So they challenged me to go open the Chicago office. And that was a lot of fun. My wife and I packed up everything. She quit her job.
Was this before or after you started having kids?
This was after we've had one kid.
Okay.
And not long after she quit her job and we you know, started packing, she realized she was pregnant with our second. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I moved to Chicago with an intent to be there for 2 years. But not long after I was there, Luke passed away. And Mike Durheim, who was at the time acting as our chief operating officer / chief financial officer, he decided to step up and take the CEO position. And he asked me to move back by the end of that year to help him lead the team here at the headquarters again.
And he seemed really young. How old was he?
Oh, boy. I guess that he would have been about 31 or 32 at the time.
What Mike? Happened?
Oh, I'm sorry, Luke.
With Luke.
Luke was 40 when he passed away, and he was flying his small plane back from Wyoming on a family vacation with his three sons, and his plane crashed. So we lost Luke and his three sons, and he was survived by his two daughters and a fourth son and his wife Ginger. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Wow, how shocking for everybody.
Yeah, it was a huge loss. It was a really challenging time for us as an organization. But mostly, you know, on a personal level, it was just devastating to lose someone who we really loved and respected and learned so much from. So, and to see the way that it impacted his family was just, it was heartbreaking. So yeah, it was tough.
And it sounds like the company, now you could go two ways, really. Mm-hmm. You either really pull together.
Absolutely.
Or you really totally fall apart.
That's right. Yeah.
And it sounds like you all pull together.
Yeah. You know, I think thanks to the leadership of Mike Durheim, we did. We pulled together. I think, you know, we were about 140 people at the time. And, you know, Mike, they had a decision to make. They could decide to sell the company, and you know, we were quite valuable then. We're growing fast and great culture, and recognized for a strong brand and great work, and quite a valuable company. They could have chosen to sell the company. Mm-hmm. They were 100% privately owned, so it would have been pretty easy for them to do, and I think they would have been very successful in doing so. We could have said, you know what, let's stabilize and you know, buckle down here or we could grow. And, Mike and our executive team, we decided that if Luke were here, he'd want us to continue to grow. So we did, you know, like I said, we were about 140 people at the time, and, we really, you know, continued to accelerate our growth through that tragedy. And the team, they did pull together. I think that it's thanks to Mike's leadership. It's, I think it's not an accident that Luke had us read.
He was having you read some certain books?
Absolutely. You know, probably 8 months before he passed away, he had the entire executive team read Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Oh, yeah.
And, ends up being one of my favorite books about leadership and business. But
in there, they have building the momentum.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that reminds me of what you guys must have.
Well, and they have a concept called level 5 leadership. That they've studied these companies, and the companies with the best leaders, they tend to survive losing their great leaders. You know, if they've got people like Luke who've really surrounded themselves with a team that's capable of replacing them, then they can be quite successful, you know, and that's what Luke did, honestly. And we did use it as a catalyst to come together and to be successful. And we, you know, we continued to accelerate and build that momentum. And like I said, I think Mike Durheim and his leadership, that was a huge part of it, for sure.
Yeah. We mentor. Well, I would like to close this conversation. Would you like to have another conversation?
Sure.
Great. All right. I'd like to close this one. You did a beautiful tribute to the partners when you became CEO.
Oh, okay.
That video, and I'll post it on our website so people can see it. But you had outlined how Luke, Mike, and Mike, what you learned from them.
Hmm.
And so I'd just like to read a few things that you had said.
Okay.
All right. So with Luke Buckland, you had said that he embraced pushing boundaries, both in life and in business. He was very devoted to his wife and six children. He had a passion toward aviation. I found that was really interesting, the work-life balance. So fit all of your life's activities in without a minute to spare, including working 60 hours every week. You said he worked that every week, no matter what.
I think
what.
So, yep. Yeah.
He had an unwavering commitment to their vision, the growth of the company, to learn and work outside of your comfort zone. He had that same commitment to you.
Mm-hmm.
Built a culture of co-presidents, which was really helpful. And he believed that leadership transcends organizational structure.
Absolutely.
What a legacy to leave behind. And you said that Mike Schmidt was humble and empowering. He allowed innovation in software development, both successes and failures. He's very patient, trusting. He held the team to high standards of excellence, great guidance and accountability, lots of service offerings. He helped you understand brand and the business model, and he was very gracious in kindness. And then you had said that what you learned from Mike Durham was...
It's Durheim, sorry.
Oh, Durheim.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. It's good. The names are tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
So Mike Durheim, you learned the most from him about integrity. In all circumstances, no amount of profit, success, or victory is worth compromising your integrity. Sacrificed hundreds of thousands of dollars to stand by commitments. Follow through was really huge and something that you're also hold a high standard of. He held a high standard, embracing all core values. He's very pragmatic, both a blessing and a curse. And the secret to their success, the commitment and virtue to build the best place in the world to work for nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add there about the founders?
Like I said earlier, I think that their trust and their faith in the people around them, I think, was something that I truly learned and admired. They gave us opportunity to succeed and fail, and they stood behind us either way. I think that was a huge part of the way that we were successful. And, you know, the vision statement to be the best place in the world for nerds to work, I think that is, our product is our people. So the people that we have working here and positioning them to solve these tough business problems for our clients, that's what we do. And we don't have a widget that we sell. We don't have a piece of shrink wrap software that we can put on a shelf. This product is our people. And so the vision statement to be the best place in the world for nerds to work is all about that. It's all about finding a way for us to surround ourselves with the smartest, most innovative, most driven people and position them to succeed. And they stayed so focused on that and really understanding what it meant to be a great place to work. It wasn't about the perks and the free beer or the free soda or the dogs in the office. Like those things are perks. Those are not the core components of a great workplace. The great place to work is about opportunity to grow and to learn, to be challenged, to advance, you know, and to find gratification in the work that you're doing. And so, you know, building a culture around those virtues, I think, was incredibly important to them. And their focus on that, I think, has been a huge part of our success. Yeah, I think, it's easy to follow in the footsteps of people who truly embody the core values. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to be passionate about pushing that culture forward when you've seen it be so successful. So honestly, I was, when I was promoted to CEO, I was set up to win, you know, for that reason.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is a wonderful place to close. And in our next mentoring conversation, we'll dig a little bit deeper about how you transitioned into your role as CEO and how the workplace really kind of recovered from such a significant loss, and some of the details about, you know, how you kept your momentum building.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Well, thanks for being here, Tom.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother.
All right.
And thanks, audience, for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.